Anybody? What is special about today? I'm particularly looking at the front row. What is special about today? Does the building always look like this? Is there something here that you wouldn't usually see here? Sam? Food! There's some food? You mean those parts at the back? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, that's up there! Oh, yes! Now, why do you think that's there? Howard? It's a harvest festival, a harvest Thanksgiving. What's that? Why do we have one of those? Do we have one because we always have one every year? Is that the reason? Don't think you'll find it in that book, Sam. You're looking in the wrong one. I don't think you've got the right book with you this morning. The reason is because we should give thanks to God at all times, but especially now, because we've got all the food that we eat, and it's the end of the harvest, and we're remembering that God has given us a harvest. What do you think would happen if all through the summer it had been a bright blue sky every day, very hot and very sunny, and there hadn't been any rain since this time last year? What do you think would happen? How much food do you think we'd have up at the front, Sam? None. Do you agree with that, Lloyd? Yes. There'd be no food. So we're giving thanks to God that God has sent us not only the sun, but the rain as well, because without the rain, there'd be no food. And if it was dark and black all the time, because of clouds overhead with no sun getting through, we wouldn't have any food either. We need both, and God sends both. But I want to ask you another question, just a moment. Now, I have here an apple. Howard's going to eat one of these apples afterwards, he tells me. No? It's an onion? Oh, perhaps you're right. It might be golden, but it's not delicious. This is a discovery. This is delicious. Right. What would happen if you dropped that into a hole in the ground? Jonathan. Correct. You couldn't eat it. What else would happen? Sam. It would grow. What do you mean it would grow like that? It would just get bigger and bigger and bigger. No? More. It would grow as an apple tree. Ooh. I think I'll take that home with me. I like apples. Actually, we've got three apple trees in the garden. And two of them we planted this year. And one of those two has had three apples on it. Yummy, yummy. And we've got another one that's been there for 6 years. And it produced about 10 apples. And they're all about that big. And they taste horrible. Now, does anybody know what this is? Oh! Who shall I ask? Who haven't I asked very much? Jonathan. Sweet corn. Well done. Yes, it is corn on the cob. You're right. But Jonathan was right as well. Now, what have we got inside here? I don't want to pull it apart. There's the sweet corn. Inside there, you can just see all the little bits of corn. Now, what would happen if we took all these little bits of corn and put them in the ground? Jonathan, it would grow. Hey. You're getting good at this. Are you sure someone hasn't told you the answers already? Yes, it would grow. Got something else here as well. What would they grow into? Sweet corn. You mean we get some more of these? A sweet corn tree. That's where you drive down to Oswestry Street and you go past a great big field that are full of sweet corn trees. What have we got in here? Who knows what that is? Think it's a nut? No. have a look. It's an acorn. And what's this funny thing? It's a conker. And, whoa, what's this? It's a cone, it's a pine cone. Is that anything else in here? No, that's everything that's in there. Oh, no, what's this one? What's that one? No, not a sticky bud. Who knows what it is? Hands up if you know. It's a prickly thing. Well, who knows what it is? It's a prickly thing, but what sort of prickly thing is it? It's, come on, it's one of those. No, it's not a baby hedgehog. Yeah. Right, it's a nut inside there. And what would happen if I took the acorn and the seeds from the cone and the nut and the acorn and planted those in the hole in the ground? Would they? What would they grow into? Trees. I'd get an oak tree from the pine cone. What would I get the oak tree from? Sam. The acorn, that's right. Now there's something common about all these things. In order to make them grow, what do we have to do? Yes, and how do we plant them? Sam? That's right, dig a hole and you drop it in. You have to bury them. Now, I expect most of you know that this week our dog died. Triffin's dead. He died on Wednesday night and we buried him. And we dug a great big hole in the garden. It was a hole big enough to bury Jonathan in as well. Just as well Jonathan wasn't there, otherwise Jonathan might have gone in the hole too. That's what we do. When someone dies, we bury them, don't we? In a hole in the ground. Does that mean they're going to grow as well? No? Doesn't it mean that? Well, you listen to what the Bible says. I'll just put these back. What does the Bible say? Well, you have a listen again to what we read a little bit earlier in 1 Corinthians 15. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? How are they brought back to life? And with what body do they come? Foolish one! What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere seed. Perhaps corn, or some other seed. Well, we've got some corn there. Some sweet corn. Now if I take one of those little yellow bits of sweet corn and drop that in the ground, do I get lots of little bits of sweet corn coming up out of the ground? No, I don't. Yes, but they don't come up as little tiny bits of sweet corn. They come up on a stalk, and then out at the top come whatever they're called. Is there a proper name for them? For the pods? The cobs, yes. And then you get the cobs, and they've got the sweet corn on them. So what you bury in the ground is not identical with what comes up out of the ground. Part of it is, but not all of it. That's what Paul's saying here. When someone dies, when God brings them back to life again, at the end of the world, they will not be exactly the same as they were. When I die, and when God brings me back from the dead, the day of judgment, I will not be exactly the same as I am now. Because as I am now, I am but a seed. I will be something better when God raises me back to life. But we can only talk about these things, talk about people coming back to life in this way, for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I can have great confidence that when I die, I'm going to be with God and spend forever with God and enjoy being with God. Never having to leave him. Never having to worry about having to go away. Never having to worry about going home or going to bed for the night. I will always be with God. Always with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a confidence that all believers have. Some of us here will remember Gordon Booth's wife. Gertrude. Gertrude died several years ago. Gertrude was buried in the burial ground down the road. But she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, when Jesus Christ returns to this world, he will raise Gertrude back to life again. And those of you that remember Gertrude know that she found it very difficult to walk or do anything at all because she had muscular dystrophy. But when God brings her back to life again, she will not be like that. She will have a perfect body, a body that will never be troubled by sickness ever again. And she will live forever. So here we see that what the harvest reminds us about is not just that God is good to us in giving us food, but he reminds us also, through the way that the harvest comes about, that there is great blessing yet to come for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read also about what we have to do in order to know these blessings now. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 12, Jesus talks exactly the same about planting seeds and what comes from those seeds. In John chapter 12 and verse 24, he says this: "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless an ear of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He who loves me, he who loves his life, will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour." So hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. We need to die in this world while still being alive. That's difficult to understand. Jesus isn't saying we should all go home and kill ourselves. He's not saying that. He wants you to have long lives serving him. But the problem is, each one of us has a problem, don't we? Not just the front row either. Right the way to the back row, we've all got a problem. Because we are all... You know what it is? We are all selfish. We all want to live for ourselves. We get up in the morning and we think, what am I going to do for me today? You go downstairs and you see your mother or your father and you say to them, what are you going to do for me today? And you look at your brother or your sister and you say, what are you going to do for me today? And all we think about is me, 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 all the time. Because we are selfish. We are selfish because we are sinners. We do the things that displease God. What Jesus says is that if we want to have real life and eternal life that will last forever, then we must die to self. So we must bury ourselves, not literally in the hole in the ground, but we must bury ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to him and we must say to him, I am selfish, I am wrong, I am sinful, and I need to be forgiven by you. Please will you forgive me? I give up all the claims and all the rights to myself, and I give myself over to you for you to do with me as you wish and you choose. I was thinking just yesterday that it's 24 years nearly since I did that. I wasn't a little boy when that happened. I wish I had been, because it would have solved lots of problems that came later. And I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and told him I was wrong. Told him that I needed to be forgiven. And I wanted initially to say, well, you forgive me, and I'll perhaps go to Sunday school. Actually, I said, I'll go to church. You forgive me and I'll read the Bible. You forgive me and I'll pray. And it didn't make any difference, because Jesus didn't want just a little bit of me. He wanted all of me. It was only when I said to him, I will do anything for you, please forgive me, that's when he forgave me. When I finally surrendered and gave in to him. And that's what he means when he says that we must die to self, we must hate our own lives in order to love him. I wonder how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ and how much you care for him, or whether you are primarily concerned with yourself. And although you all think I'm just looking at the front row, I'm thinking about everybody. Are we living our lives primarily for ourselves, or are we living them for Jesus Christ? Are we seeking to serve him? Because that will determine what happens to us in the future. That determines what happens to us on the day of judgment. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ and who know his forgiveness know that when he comes and judges the world, we have nothing to fear, because we will be raised from the dead to a new life. Just as the seed was buried in the ground, so we will sprout up to a new and wonderful life forever with him. But we need just to remind ourselves of one other time that someone was buried in the ground. I'm not talking this time about a dog. I'm talking about a person. I'm talking about a man. That man, I wonder if you know who his name is. Anyone in the front row know who the name of this man is? A man who died and was buried. Sam. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ died. And he died to pay for all the punishment that you deserve for everything you've done wrong. I wonder how many things you've done wrong this morning. I'm not asking your parents, they'd probably give me a list as long as my arm. But I'm sure there's things you've done wrong this morning. I can tell, I can see it in some of your faces. You know there's things you've done wrong. Jesus was punished for those things you've done wrong this morning. And all the things you did yesterday, and last week, and last year, and every day of your lives, up until the present moment, and right up until the day you die. Jesus was punished for everything that you have done and ever will do. He died for you. He was buried in the ground. But Jesus didn't stay there. Jesus was brought back from the dead by God. And so we read again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just a little bit before the bit that we read earlier. In verse 23, we read this, "But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits," that is, those raised from the dead. Christ is the first fruits. "Afterwards, those who are Christ's at his coming." So Christ was raised from the dead as the first fruits. Here we have on the table up here the fruits of the earth. This is the fruit that God has brought from the seeds that were planted earlier this year. The Lord Jesus Christ was buried in the ground, and only 3 days later he was brought back to life as the first fruits of those whom God will have with him in heaven forever. It's because of his life, it's because of his death, and it's because he has been raised from the dead and is alive now that you and I can know forgiveness. You and I can know that we're going to heaven. We want to know, and I mean know, not just think and might happen to fancy and vaguely have an idea that it would be nice to, but to know that you are going to heaven, then you must turn away from sin, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, saying that you're sorry for all the naughty things you've ever done, and that you will now surrender your life to him, give it up to him, for him to do with for as long as you live, and then forever. So are we prepared for that great harvest at the end of the world, when the Lord Jesus will come and he will bring everybody back from the dead? We will all have to stand before him and give an account for what we've done. Everyone. Not just the front row. Everybody. Not just those of us here. Everybody. Not just Western Ring. Everybody. Not just Britain. Everybody. Not just those who are alive now. Everybody. Those who have died earlier this century. Everybody. Those who haven't been born yet. Everybody will come and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for what they have done with the life that God has given to them. And only those who have come to Christ now in this life will be received by God into heaven. This time of harvest, we do give thanks to God for his great blessings upon us in providing us with the food that we need. But let us never forget that great harvest that is still to come. And let us be sure that we will be included in those whom God reaps into his harvest and takes to be with himself forever. Because the alternative is so terrible that we don't even want to think about it. So think about where you are, whether you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you know your sins are forgiven. And if you do, then you will be like those seeds. And one day you will sprout and grow up and become a godly person and become holy like Jesus Christ. And you will live with him and enjoy him and enjoy heaven forever. And I hope and pray that that is the experience of every one of us here today, whether we're young or whether we're old. Now we're going to finish by singing.